So I'll tell you, the song tonight, we've heard this artist before. I'm not sure here, maybe we did.
Yeah.
Here we did?
No.
We've used his songs a few times. His name is Avram. If you want to look him up, he spells his name on Spotify, A-V-R-H-M.
Yeah.
Leave off the last A for savings. Or two ways, really. He leaves off.
We're dying for you.
We're dying for you. Yeah.
We did that at...
Great songs. He has a lot of music. If you look up his stuff, he has a lot of music. He put out a song recently. I think it's his most recent song. Yeah. And he's a big chiddush. His music is really a chiddush. Listen to it. It's kedai. I spoke to him today. He lives in Toronto. He's a beautiful Jew. And first we'll hear the song if you haven't heard it. Probably you haven't. Moshe has heard it like 10 times already.
I said it to him the minute it came out.
It's very, very simple. It's three words, the whole song. Yavo, Goel, V'Yigaleinu. So it's a song, it's called Geula. And we're in the Zman Geula right now, obviously. Right, Pesach, we're Ot, right before Pesach. So it's apropos, Moshe didn't just request, he twisted my arm. He said, you have to do this song. I said, fine.
That's not true.
Well,
I said, no, it's going to be around next week. So I said, well, it's Zman Geula, so it's
fine. So that was basically, that's what I just said. He twisted my arm, right? It's the same thing, just different words. And I knew that if Moshe tells me to do it, Siyata Dishmai will flow, and big time Siyata Dishmai flowed down. Hopefully, we'll be able to say it out. So first, we'll fill this song first. I'll give you a 2 minute afterwards about what he told me, where the song came from, and then we'll go again as always, an hour away, trying to explain it. Okay, so listen deeply. It's a deep song. Listen carefully. Again, Yovo Goel V'Yigaleinu. Three words.
Thank you.
So Avram told me, this song came about after a lot of the songs we've been doing now, after October 7th. Now we did Brighter. A lot of the songs that are coming out now have that theme. Yisharibo last week. And he said that after the original shock, which everybody went through, just and the beginnings of the whole of the atrocities and the war and everything, at some point, you know, his mood started to change, as many people went through this process, just the shock and the distraught feelings and the pain, and then people started to slowly turn into as we started to take the upper hand, and Klal Yisrael started to band together. They should continue. Feelings of geula. People start to think of geula. You know, it's Mashiach Zeit. It's the time for Mashiach. People are coming together. You know, there's sparks flying, and this is where the song came from. This geula that he's running towards that light, and we get stronger and stronger as the song goes on. Right, as we're getting closer and closer. And I even said to him today, I made a ha'ara that he didn't even notice himself, is that if you listen to the song, we'll listen to it again at the end. At the beginning, when he sings the words Yavo, you know, Yavo Goel Yigalenu, it's not so pronounced. You hear it, but not so much. By the end of the song, it's very loud, it's very clear. Because at the beginning, you know, the beginning of a person, you know, yearning and hoping towards Geula, there's still darkness, there's still doubts, there's still, you know, it's fuzzy. But as you get closer and closer, doesn't mean necessarily in time, but within yourself, you become closer to that, to a true Geula, feelings of Geula, you become just more clear, more pronounced. You're able to emphasize. So based on that, let's see. So right now we're in a very special time between Adar, Nisan, between Purim and Pesach, it's Gevalt. The entire month of Adar and the entire month of Nisan is the entire month. Mishnechlas Adar Mar Mesimcha continues through Nisan until the end of Nisan, really. This is Manam Simcha. There's no Hespid. There's no Tachanun. We're getting ready. Okay, there's a little bit of, you know, overwhelming feelings of getting ready for Pesach, but the Iker is everybody's waiting, yearning for Pesach, for the Seder, for Matzah. And it seems so contradictory, specifically this year, as we go through the Parshios. You know, we have, last week, another of you die. This week, Tazria. Next week, Mitzvah. Usually, Tazria and Mitzvah is in one shot. Let's just get done with this already. No. We're going to lay it out for 2 long weeks. Tazria and Mitzvah about Saras. Just details and details. Negat, Saras, Parachas, Gabachas, all this stuff. It seems so contradictory to the time we're in. How do we make sense of that? Secondly, how do we make sense of this week's parasha, Tazria? It starts off, Isha ki Sazria, Vialda Zachar, a beautiful baby's born. On the 8th day, there's a Mila. Of course, that's connected to last week's parasha with the Shemini, not for now. It's a beautiful beginning. And then it's quickly, okay, yes, there's a little bit of tumma. Yes, the mother has to wait, but it's based on a beautiful baby. And then very quickly, we turn into the worst tumma, Saras. The Mitzora is such a tumma. He's as tummy as a mace, right? If a Mitzora walks into an ohel, to a tent, everybody becomes tummy, just like a dead body. He's kimeis mamish. So how do you put together these two, the most beautiful parsha of a new baby being born, and then the most disgusting neged saras on the other end? How do you put that in one parsha? Separated by something, maybe? And the third is a ha'ara, is that we all know, we learned when we were very young, that, right, there's three places that saras can come: on a person's body, on his clothing, and on the walls of his house. Everybody knows the famous measures that Rashi brings down. That if saras comes on the walls of the house, after, when you have to remove those pieces of the house, right, and set them off, those tummy pieces of wood, they were treasures. The Amorites, however you pronounce them, Amorim, they hid treasures in the walls, and you find treasure. So I would think why that is, again, that's another time. Could be we spoke about that before in past years. I think we have. But maybe Ha'ara is that if on the walls of the house that gets saras you find treasure, could be kol shekein, that if a person finds saras on his body, there's also a treasure that comes at the end. Chiddush, but I would think it's possible, right? That if by the walls there's a treasure at the end, so kol shekein, if there's saras on the body, there's going to be a reward, a treasure at the end. What is that? What is that treasure? So the Jews are in Mitzrayim, right? Simanus Pesach now. Nisan Pesach. So the Jews are in Mitzrayim, and we'll make a long story short, we all know it, but just to spell it out, they're in slavery, they're getting beat, Avodas Parech, Vayimaru Eschayeyim, place of bitterness, slavery. And then Moshe comes back, right, after a certain period of time, the Makos start, at this point, Klal Yisrael is no longer enslaved, they're not slaves anymore, but at the same time, they're not free yet. They're still in Mitzrayim. And then finally, there's freedom. Finally, Gula, Makas Bechoros, they finally leave Mitzrayim with the Matzah, with the Rechush Gadol, with a great treasure. Right? Three major parts to the Yetzias Mitzrayim and being in Mitzrayim. And this three-prong process is really a micro of a macro. Life consists constantly of these three aspects. There's darkness and there's day. But between darkness and day, there's a little bit of light. Right? There's the night, there's dawn. You're not supposed to have Shemoneh Esrei yet, but you could. Right? Really supposed to wait till the Nates. Hanates, when the sun really rises. So there's the Choshech. Then there's the dawn, there's a little bit of light, but not fully yet. And then there's the full sun, the full, right? It's a three-part process. There's a darkness, Vayimaru Eschayeyim. Then there's the little bit of light where it's the Makos. We were still enslaved, but in a certain aspect, we were freed. And then there's the bright light where Klal Yisrael finally gets out. Laila Kiyom Yor, says the Pasuk. It was a night, but it was really day. Now this process, in Kabbalistic terminology, is called Ibur, Yanika, and Mochen. Or Mochen is called godless. Ibur means pregnancy. Yanika means nursing. And Mochen, godless, means growth. Grows up. Right? All new ideas, inventions, isms, ologies, asophies, philosophies. All this stuff has to go through nations, people, families. Befrat, ubechlal. Everything has to go through these three parts. Right? There's going to be a certain darkness and a lack of clarity. Then there's going to be somewhat of a clarity, and then there's going to be the culmination, the Gemar, with the full clarity. Now, Parshat Hazriah speaks about a baby. Right? Ibur Yanika and godless is based on the concept, but the reality of a baby. So in the perspective of the baby, when the baby's in utero, baby's in fetus land, there is no self. The baby is totally connected to the mother. Right? There's no sense of self. It's alive, but it's not alive. When the baby is now born, but to live, it has to be yonik from the mother. Right? It has to nurse from the mother. So it's alive. There's certainly a sense of self, but it's still totally dependent on its mother. It cannot live by itself. Until the time of godless, where then the baby, the child, grows up enough that it can eat itself, it has its own self, it has autonomy, it can run its own life to a certain degree. So the process starts without a self, in a certain darkness. The baby's in darkness. It's totally in the mother. There's no light there at all. It's uncomfortable, it could be painful, right? And the process, when a person is going through a certain pain, a certain darkness, it's called Ibor. That's the stage called Ibor. And then as a person starts to break out of that process, it's called Yanika, as over time, right? Growing pains, a person experiencing growing pains, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional. The parents raising a child, Sargi Dobanim, there's a certain pain. As there's the darkness, as there's the where the child tries to take too much right at the beginning, and the parents are in a certain darkness and how to deal with this kid, and slowly but surely they understand that you let the kid out a little bit, and then eventually give the kid what it needs. It's a painful, it's a process, but it's a cycle of life. It's a constant cycle that a Kadosh Baruch Hu made in all aspects of life, ibur yanika, and godless. But even when a child gets to the stage of godless, right, the first godless of a baby is in the mother's womb. That's called ibur. The baby is born and it's yonik. The first godless is really the mila. The first godless, because he's not a yid, and now he's a yid in some regards. There's another stage of godless when the baby doesn't have to nurse anymore. But even when the baby stops nursing, it still needs, of course, people. It still needs his mother. It's not that it can't just go off and go to college, right? So even after the ibur yanika godless stage, there's always another stage, another ibur yanika godless. Now the kid has to learn how to walk. The child has to learn what it means to share, and they get into fights, and they have to learn. It's a dark process. There's a yanika learning how to connect with other people, and then there's a godless when they fully get it, and then it starts again. Even us, when we go through an ibur yanika godless, and we're when a boy's 13. So now he's 13. Now he's a real gadol, right? He's a bar mitzvah. Oh, but he doesn't have to do kibbutz avim anymore. He's a real gadol now. Now he has his own desires, his own, he can have a cell phone, he could have money, he could work in the summer, so he's a big gadol, right? So no more kibbutz avim. He doesn't have to be an anav, he doesn't have to still believe and be subservient to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Of course not. Of course he does, right? Because after every stage of godless, of mochan, of becoming yourself, then there's another stage to start again. And that's called life. That's the process of life. This happens in ruchnias, it happens in gashmias, it happens in business, happens by yourself, happens with a family, happens with everything, goes through these processes. Some are more difficult than others. Some are more dark. Some are more painful. Some take longer. Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses in your life what's going to be more painful. But this is the way it goes. And everybody sitting here has gone through this state, this process many times, and has seen what has come out, even though he once, at one point, he thought it was so dark he would never be able to come out of this. It doesn't matter if you're studying to become a doctor. At the beginning, you're like, what are they talking about over here? Maybe I should just give up this whole thing. But if you stay in it, even though it's painful, you come to a yanika, and then eventually become a godless, become a doctor, or a parent, or whatever it may be. This process goes around and around. It happens in relationships, it happens in a person's midas. Now, of course, this connects very much to something we spoke about a few weeks ago. Right, Rabbi Nachman says, "Ki yarida tachlis aliyah." Remember this? This is what we learned this with Shmuel's song. "Ki yarida tachlis aliyah." So we explained then, there's different ways to say it, but the way we learned it was that the yarida is the tachlis, is the end, is the goal of the aliyah. Right, that's the way we explained it. You can learn both ways. But as a person's making an ascent and he's trying to grow, a yurida is actually part of the process. It's the next step up. Because after you get to a godless, which one would think is the aliyah, then when you fall, quote unquote, fall to the next ibur, which is going into a place of darkness, that's just going to the next stage. You're not falling back, starting at ground one, mamish. Right? The baby, now that the baby's not nursing anymore, and then it goes into another stage of ibur, learning how to eat by itself, you know, the applesauce with the spoon and getting it all over itself, and it's all over the floor, and the mother gets upset, and you have to work with the baby, and they doesn't want the bib, and he throws the bib on it. So what? Because the baby doesn't have to eat with a spoon, that means he's lower than he was from before? Of course not. It's a new stage up. It's a new ibur, then yanika. He learns how to eat, and then godless. That's what Ibn Achman is saying. Ki yarida is the tachas aliyah. Because it's the next step. Because the person hits the top of the mountain, he's like, all right, I got it. Game over. Like, my life's over. I got to the top. No. You have to go back down the mountain to then climb up the next high mountain. You don't just live on the top of the mountain for the rest of your life. I mean, it's weird. You could, I guess. But, you know, you want to live. You got to go fight there. Come back down and start another process up. A higher mountain. with all the difficulties that it has.
You're not coming back down, you're going down on the other side, to the next mountain.
Yeah, right. You're going down the other side to climb the next mountain that you couldn't even see. As you're walking to the first mountain, all you see is that first mountain. It's only when you get to the top of that first mountain to even see that second mountain. And then you want it, because you want to get to the highest mountain. But the only way there is to go down. Now, usually we don't choose that. Usually the Kaddish Baruch Hu chooses that for us. Right? It's very simple when you're a mountain climber. But when you're living life, and you're a parent, and you're this, and you're at work, and you're in Ruchnius, you don't choose. You don't necessarily always see the next mountain. So this process, from godless back to Ibur, how does this happen? It's through a bittul. It's through bittul, right? To go from godless to katnus. To go from mochin, understanding, to a place back in Ibur, where you don't understand, you're going to be put into a place of bittul. Nullify the self that you once knew. And you don't choose that. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to put you through that process. That's how it goes. Because he wants you to get to the next level. Now, every godless, like we just said, every godless, every mochen, is a sense of self. It's an understanding. Right? To some degree. It's an understanding. You've reached a plateau of some way. The only way to start again is losing that sense of self. Now, nobody would ever ask for that. I know how to learn and how to daven. I have these midos, or I'm doing well with my children. No one would ask, I want you to knock me down a few levels. Let me start this again. No one would ever do that. But Kaddish Baruch Hu knows the only way to get to the next level, to get to the next place, to grow, is to lose that which you knew. And that comes sometimes through forgetting. Actually forgetting things. That comes from feeling disconnected. Losing that feeling of connection. It comes in many different ways. Kaddish Baruch Hu forces that. In any way, it comes from becoming enslaved to something that you can forget yourself for a very long period of time. Now, if a person doesn't understand this, so all he's going to do is going to fight, he's going to be upset, he's going to complain. I once knew, now I don't know. I was once connected, I once had money, I once had stuff, ruchnis and gashmis, relationships, and now it's taken away from me. So he gets all upset. And he fights every possible way to get back to the place that he was once at. And once you hit the top of the mountain and you start going back down, and you start to feel I'm descending. I'm not seeing the beautiful sights that I once saw on top of the mountain. So he says, no, I gotta get back there. So he's gonna climb back up the mountain backwards. No, you have to go back, you have to go down to come back up. See, if we understand that this is the way Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world, you don't have to fight it. You have to be mevatel to it. You have to don't stand up to the wave and say, no, wave, you're not going to crash on me. You're going to take a big hit. You have to dive into the wave. You're going to tell the moon, listen, Mr. Moon, I know that your orbit is going to be right in the way of the sun, and you're going to try to block it out, but don't do that. You can't stop the moon. You can't stop the darkness. You can't stop nighttime. There's Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. That's called life. You can't stop that process. You have to be mavato. Ah, so what does that mean? So that's it? I should just give in to everything? So I lost my sense of self. I lose my whatever my drago was at. That's it? I should just become overrun by it? No. You're mavato, you surrender to the process, which is inevitable, which you cannot change. You cannot stop night from coming. But what do you do at night? Night's going to come. You say, okay, night's coming. So that's it? So just go to sleep? Not get out of bed? Feel depressed? And that's it, I'm over. No. What do you do? V'emunascha b'leilos. You yearn. You hope. Yes, it's nighttime. I'm asking, it's night. This is part of the process. And it hurts. It hurts. There's no two ways about it. It's going to hurt sometimes. And I'm not saying Kaddish Baruch Hu take away the hurt. That's part of the process. But I'm hoping and yearning for the next morning. See, that's the yanika. See, the ibur is when things go dark. Now, ibur is a good thing. You can't have a baby without being pregnant. Ah, it's dark. There's no sense of self when the baby's in the mother. But again, you can't have a baby without that process. But at some point, when you allow let that be, and you come to a place, there's going to be pain. There's going to be a difficult process. But if a person can come to the place, yeah, but I hope, I yearn for when, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you decide that the light should come. When you start to say, I hope, that's already unique. There's a sense of self. You're not free yet. You're still in that place. But there's a you. There's a hope. There's a light. It's dawn. The sun is starting to break over the horizon. The sun's going to come up also. Just like night comes, the daytime will also come without you doing anything. And you could also fight it. Or you could fight against the dark. The night, the day's going to come. And exactly when a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it to come. The best thing that we can do, our Ishtadlis, is to hope and to yearn. That's the yanika. We're being yonik from a Kadosh Baruch Hu at that point. It comes with a bittul, a surrender, a shiflus, an anava. But on the other hand, I'm hoping, yearning, not demanding, not expecting. It's a big difference. I'm hoping and yearning for that time that a Kadosh Baruch Hu lets the full light, the nates, the mochen, to come back to godless. Because it's only when mommy decides, generally, not always, but it's only when mommy decides that the child is old enough not to nurse anymore. That's when the mother, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Shekhinah says, okay, you're at the next stage of godless. It's time to move on, it's time to grow, it's time to eat the applesauce with a spoon and get it all over the floor and get it in your hair and get peanut butter in your hair and gum in your hair and all that stuff. Which is a new Ibor, and to the Yanika, and then to the next godless. So when it comes to a Metzora, we got to get back to Tzaras. What's the Tzaras? Why do you get Tzaras? Of course, Lashon Hara. But also Stam, just gossiping, talking about other people, whether it's Lashon Hara or not. Gaiva, Tzarayin, being stingy, Gilui Arayos. There's many reasons why a person can get Tzaras, the Gemara says. One of the common denominators, common factors in these Averis is he's very selfish. He's self-centered. Again, Lashon Hara, Gaiva, stingy. It's about him. It's about himself. Now, think about it. This person, this Metzora, who received Tzaras because of these Averis, is he a Gadol? Is he a Mochen? Now, he's making his own choices. He's choosing his self. Again, Mochen and Godless, in a certain way, means a sense of self, an understanding, you're developed. This person, he's choosing not to give. He's a Baal Gaiva. He's like, you'd say the Spitz Gadol. Too much even. And the answer is, he's Bechlal, not himself at all. He's consumed himself. He's so in the dark. He doesn't have a sense of self. He's actually in an Ibor. But he doesn't know he's in an Ibor. That's the problem. When a person is selfish, he's put himself back into like a womb, into a dark place. He's the darkest person. Godless mochen is when he has a sense of self and there's light. He's open, he's helping, he's selfless. Godless doesn't mean selfish. We'll talk about Moshe Rabbeinu in a second. Moshe became a gadol and he went out to see his brethren. He didn't stay in the palace. So this person, this Metzora, who seems like he has godless, it's not true at all. He's in the biggest darkness, the deepest darkness. He's really an Ibor, but he doesn't know. So how does the Kodesh Baruch Hu help this person? How does he help him? By making him a Metzora. Because what does Metzora do? He has to walk around, says, the Pasuk says. And he has to say, Tame, Tame, I'm Tame. So he has to inform people he's Tame because if they touch him, they might become Tame. But also, why does he say Tame Tame? So he recognizes that he's Tame. Because he doesn't see that. He doesn't see that he's a Baal Gaiva. The biggest Baal Gaiva don't realize they're Baal Gaiva. Right? The people who speak the most Lashon Hara don't realize they speak Lashon Hara. Either of them, they're like loving. They think they're the best people. They're so lost. They're in so much darkness. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to help this person. So if I give him Tzaras and you see it, It's something you could see on his body. And he says, Tame, Tame. So then he says, whoa, maybe I'm not such a tzaddik. maybe I do have issues. And then he has to go outside the camp. Now, before we get there, let's go back to Mitzrayim for a second. So the Yidden are in the process, Vayimoros Chayeyim. They're in the stage of Ibor. They're a nation consumed by another nation. Right? Part of the process of Geula, of the godless, of the Mochan, of Klal Yisrael, they became a nation, but only when they left. In Mitzrayim, even though they were all Jews, they weren't a nation yet. So what happens? They're in Vayimoros Chayeyim. They're in the bitterness. They're in the Avodas Parech. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, who himself goes through this process. Moshe Rabbeinu is Yocheved is pregnant with him. It's an Ibor. It's a very dark Ibor because the Mitzrayim want to kill him. Right? Then she gives birth. Crazy Nisim. He gets taken to the palace, but then there's a Yanika. Right? He goes back to his mother for Yanika. Then after the Yanika, he goes back into a little bit of an Ibor because he goes back into the palace of Paro. He's not himself yet. But then it says, Moshe became a Gadol. These are the words in the Parsha. In Parsha's Shmos. He becomes a Gadol and he goes out to see his brother. When he became finally autonomous, selfish, meaning in a way that he has a sense of self, he became selfless. And he became a Gadol and he went out to see his brethren. So he himself went through the Ibor, Yanika, godless. But then what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Paro, after he killed the Mitzri, Paro tried to kill Moshe and he had to run away. Way to Yisro. He had to go to Midian, another Ibor. He had to leave his family. He had to come to terms, like, what is going on in my life? That was another Ibor. Until finally he saw the Sneh, which was a Kaddish Baruch says, you're going to be the guy? He's like, no, I'm not going to be the guy. This is already the Yanika. Kaddish Baruch was trying to give him a sense of self, but he was still not there yet. And then finally, when he goes back to Mitzrayim, he's again a Gadol number two. Right? So you see, Moshe Rabbeinu himself is going through this process. Now, Klal Yisrael is in Mitzrayim, Vayimaros Chayeyim, and at a certain point, the Geula starts. The Geula started when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Sneh, and Hashem said, go back, and he comes back to start the Geula process. But what started that? What gave Moshe, or what started that event that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Sneh?
He turned for the sheep.
But before that even, before Moshe Rabbeinu, what caused Moshe Rabbeinu? What did Klal Yisrael do? Vanitzak. Klal Yisrael cried out. They hoped, they yearned. They finally realized that we're sunken into this place. For 200 years, whatever, they didn't cry out. They became slaves. They were in a big Ibor. They didn't have a sense of self. They didn't even know to cry out because they were so embedded in Mitzrayim. A baby in the mother's womb doesn't know how to cry out. There's no crying. It's totally subservient to the mother. Klal Yisrael was totally subservient to Mitzrayim. The point, they didn't even have a sense of self to cry out, get us out of here. Until finally, that itself, how did that happen with Paro dying? And with it really, Paro at Saras. Right? Paro at Saras. And that's how they even called out. I don't want to get into all these points now, but everything really ties back in. But finally, when they called out Vanitzak, that was the hope and the yearning. That was the Yanika, the breaking out of the mother of Mitzrayim. That itself, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, let's go. He sends Moshe to the Sneh for his own Yanika. And then Moshe Rabbeinu comes back as a Gadol to bring Klal Yisrael into the state of godless. Through the Makus, and then ultimately out of Mitzrayim. See, it's the same process happening through Saras, Moshe, Klal Yisrael, and a baby, Tazria. So you see, Tazria, the first half of the parasha, which is talking about the baby, the Ibor, Yanika, and the godless with the Mila, parallels the end of the parasha with the Metzora. Right? The Metzora, where the only way that he can get out of his stinginess and his Gaiva is to go through his own process of Ibor, Yanika, and godless. By seeing Saras, and then getting kicked out of the camp, we'll talk about that in a second. Moshe Rabbeinu has to go through the same process through literally his birth and his growing up in the palace. Then he starts the process again when he goes out to Midian. And at the same time, Klal Yisrael themselves are going through this process. It's the same cycle going through again and again. And one causes the other. So Metzora, he has to go out of the camp. And once he gets to Ras, and he says, Tame, Tame, that's part one. To recognize something's wrong. Then what does he do? Now he needs to tikkun. Now he knows he's a Baal Gaiva. Now he knows he's stingy. Now he knows he speaks Lashon Hara. That's good. That's step one. Now he knows. That's already like a shtickle yanika. But he needs the full tikkun. So he gets kicked out of the camp. Go sit by yourself. Bodod yeshev chutzamachana. Right? Bodod is his boididus. Go do his boididus. Go think about what's going on with you. Yeshev is Lashon Tshuva. Bodod yeshev chutzamachana. Bodod says the kafachayim. Bechol derechecha deyeyu. You have to come to know Kodesh Baruch. Come to know what happened over here. The getting kicked out of the camp was the part of, that was this tikkun. The Rambam tells us that the tahara process was a hard and long process, because even after he's kicked out for 7 days, the kohen comes out after 7 days to see if he was healed. But we learned the parshas. It sounds like okay. After 7 days, the kohen comes and they start the tahara process. Lav dafka. If he wasn't healed from the tzaras, if he didn't do tshuva, if he didn't come to terms with his problems, then Hashem didn't take away the tzaras. So it does not lav dafka 7 days. It could be 14. It could be 6 months. Only after he finally did enough tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the tzaras, then the process could start, which was a 7 day process with birds, with mikvah. And the Rambam goes through the different stages. There's really 4 stages of the tahara process. I don't go through all of it, but there's 4 stages of being a metzora, being healed, and then waiting 7 days, waiting that night, then next day a carbon, a whole process. These 4 parts of the process, the process of tahara, process of freedom, parallel hotseisi, hitzalti, gaalti, lakachti. It's just as he has to get out of his gullus, his meitzarim, his stinginess, his selfishness. Klal Yisrael also had to break out of Mitzrayim from Ibor Yenika to a godless. The godless had 4 parts to it. We've discussed it in the past. And the fifth, by the Mitzorah, the fifth part of the process is the 8th day, when he's now totally back to normal. And we have a 5th part of the process of Hevesi when we get to Eretz Yisrael. The whole process of the Mitzorah, how does the process of the Mitzorah start? How does the Tahara process of the Mitzorah start? It doesn't happen until he first does Tshuva and his Tzaras goes away. Think about it. What do you think he's singing the whole time? What do you think he's thinking about? Yovo Goel V'Yigaleni. When's the Kohen going to come? He's my goel. Right? Who was the one who put the Mitzora out of the camp? Who diagnosed him? The Kohen. Kohen says, it's Saras. You're out. Who's the one who brings him salvation? Who's the one who can redeem him, start the process? The Kohen. Yavo Goel V'Yigaleni. That's what the Mitzora is singing out there. When is my goel gonna come? Of course, he has to do tshuva. He has to do his boididus. He has to get. He has to make sure that tzaras goes away. But he's singing this song. Klal Yisrael singing this song after Venitzak. They're singing Yavo Goel V'Yigaleni. When's our goal? When is our gula going to come? Moshe Rabbeinu himself is singing this song when he's waiting for his gula. Yavo Goel V'Yigaleni. Because this song is part of the process. It's from the yanika to the gula to the godless. That's what the song's about. And you sing it again, and you sing it again, and you sing it again. Because as you're waiting, you have to still be working yourself. But as the time goes on, and you're getting stronger, you're not getting weaker. You're getting stronger. The music comes in stronger. You're feeling the gula more. You're feeling more connected. But saras is slowly going away. It was a nice big fat thing on your hand, and slowly but surely you're watching it. As you do tshuva and you're singing the song Yavo, go over Yigalein, the saras is leaving. And then finally the Kohen comes. He says, oh, now we can start the process. And he doesn't stop singing that song because it's still a 7-day process. There's still mikvah. There's still tshuvah. There's still karbonos. So this is the only way to get himself back, to reconnect to Kodesh Baruch Hu, back to himself, back to his community, is through this process. Unfortunately, sometimes it's tragedy that takes us to realize. It took being slaves of Mitzrayim and Avodas Paruch to the point of breaking us until we finally, the Nitzach, we cried out. We didn't even realize we were in Ibor. How do you realize you're in an Ibor? Maybe we're all in a status of Ibor right now. We wouldn't know because you lose your sense of self. So you don't really know. So Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes has to send a tragedy to shake up your life, to wake you up. And as a nation, as Klal Yisrael, we're all in this together. Sometimes a tragedy wakes us up. You guys are in an Ibor. Wake up. We need to figure that something's going on over here. Klal Yisrael has to come back chazak. This is the treasure that the Metzora finds. Because again, the Metzora lost himself. The only way to find himself, which is the greatest treasure, to find your actual self, to know yourself, is to go through this process, is to become a Metzora. That's the treasure behind the walls. That's the beginning of the parsha, the end of the parsha. And that's why Dafka now, as we're trying to rid ourselves of the Chametz, it's the same Indian over here. And this is the only way to Gula. This is the only way to Gula. For that gula, befrat ubechlal, from here we remain.
Amen.
Yeah, for you.